This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Stacey Lynn in Washington. Several tornadoes were reported touching down near Chicago last night. WBBM-TV reporter Charlie DeMar is in Elgin, Illinois.
Trees were uprooted throughout this neighborhood in Elgin and tossed with ease on top of homes and cars, just really creating a mess for people out here. Neighbors we heard from say they heard the tornado sirens, and within seconds, it was gone.
In came that loud, rushing noise like a train. And we grabbed the dogs and the kids and ran into the basement. And then it was gone literally 15 seconds later.
More than 100 million people across the U.S. are baking in the super hot temps. Maybe taking a swim will help cool you off? Nope, says CBS's Bradley Blackburn.
In Florida's Virginia Key, a dip in the water didn't do the trick.
It's very hot, almost like it was a jacuzzi, to be honest.
At Long Beach in New York, the sand is scalding too.
It gets up to like 92 degrees sometimes outside. My legs burn. I have to throw a towel down on the floor and step on it.
While the clock has just run out, we are still waiting to hear if Hollywood actors will join writers on the picket line. They've been trying to work out a new contract with Hollywood studios and production companies. Entertainment attorney Jonathan Handel told KCBS-TV, this seems to be a new trend.
You see the hotel workers having gone out on strike. The dock workers almost went out on strike. The UPS workers are threatening to go out on strike. The Amazon warehouse workers and Starbucks workers are unionizing. There's a resurgence in labor, and it's a reaction to the growth of big tech, the concentration of wealth within big tech in particular.
Now, if Hollywood actors do strike, that means no new movies and your favorite TV shows will all be repeats. Auto workers could head to the picket lines. Contract talks are about to begin with the big Detroit manufacturers. WWJ-TV reporter Gina Vici on what's at stake here.
There is a growing fear these talks could lead to a strike. In fact, UAW leadership told its members to be ready for a strike. Meanwhile, the automakers have signaled that big changes are needed to adapt to the EV market, which, yes, could lose jobs, but also create many new jobs.
Friday is officially here.
Ding, fries it, ding, ding, fries it, ding, ding.
National French Friday, but you actually can get the salty deals for 2 days. For years, National French Friday was always observed on July 13th, but last year, some fast food chains petitioned online to get the day moved to the second Friday in July so it would always fall on a Friday. The National Day calendar people decided to change it, but there are several fast food joints which still celebrate today. That means 2 days of French fry deals, which is really a win-win. This is CBS News.
Find great hires fast with Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring solution makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
It feels like they're trying to pit the teachers against the parents, and all of us can come together to say, look, stop trying to, you know, divide and conquer and work with us. And they're still trying to hide and say, well, the JFC cut it. There's nothing I can do. Yes, there is. You can vote for the amendment to continue child care counts.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
HelpUS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
United States is for Fig Newton. It was named after Newton, Massachusetts.
Oh.
I haven't had a Fig Newton in a really long time.
It's because they're bad cookies.
Man, you're really downing on a lot of things that I like this morning. Jeez, don't yuck my yum.
Don't what?
Don't yuck my yum.
Got it.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin. Welcome to the 11 o'clock hour of As Goes Wisconsin. I am your host, Kristen Bry. We've got Greg Bach on the board today. And I'm very excited for our guest at 11:30. You actually booked this guest.
Heck yeah, I did.
You know that today is actually considered the slowest day of sports all year long.
Why is that?
I don't know, but so it's the day after the MLB All-Star game, and basically none of the big four North American leagues have any competitive games. There's no NBA, there's no NFL, there's no MLB, no NHL. There is Wimbledon.
Yeah, that was gonna say.
I saw you ooh, itching to get that out.
But issue.
In general, this is considered a slow sports day, but we're still gonna talk about sports because Milwaukee Pro Soccer is coming.
Yes, it is.
So we have Colin Kaloya. Said that right, Kaloya, who is the chief operating officer for Milwaukee Pro Soccer. He'll be here at 11:30 to talk about what it takes to create a team from scratch, basically, because that is what's happening in Milwaukee. They're finding a name, they're building a stadium, and so we're very excited about it.
I've definitely voted many times for the names.
Do you have are you going to tell him what your favorite name is?
Absolutely, I'm going absolutely to. Tune in at 11:33 for more information.
But also, if you have questions for him, for Colin, as far as what the team is going to... Connor, sorry. Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm here for you.
For Connor, 844-967-2789. Shoot us a text or give us a call during the segment to talk about pro soccer coming to Milwaukee. But for right now, I want to talk about this Jonah Hill thing. And it's, if you don't know what I'm talking about, I debated whether or not to even bring this up on the show for multiple reasons. One, I feel like we don't typically get into like celebrity gossip BS on this show because mostly I don't really care. You know, like as the tit for tat zeitgeist of like pop culture stuff that is very online, I don't always, you know, find it that interesting. But also, I think sometimes the audience that is listening to us live versus podcasts versus people who are very habitually online on TikToks and Twitters and such, not always having the best feel of like, what is the crossover there? So like, is anyone else going to find this interesting? But I'll give some background on it. But this is bubbled up because I feel like I personally have experienced the other side of this. So I care less about like, this is a lot of dirty laundry that you can debate whether or not this is any of the public's business that we should be talking about. It's kind of like what happened, you know, when the world started, everyone had an opinion about the slap heard around the world with Will Smith and Chris Rock. Sometimes things happen in celebrity culture that create a bigger conversation Let's put it that way. And it's not so much about the nuances of this specific case, because I don't really give a crap about Jonah Hill, but more of like a bigger conversation around what does this mean about like relationship dynamics. But let me go back and actually try to explain what happened for anyone who like is like, who's Jonah Hill?
Wow.
Do you think, is he famous enough that, like, do you think there's people out there right now who are like listening to the show and like, I don't know who Jonah Hill is?
I think that Jonah Hill has been in enough movies, TVs, animated, that kind of thing where you've heard the name. You might not be able to put a face to it, but I feel like everyone's heard the name Jonah
Or if
Hill.
You've seen his face, you know him.
Yeah.
So he is, like, is he a household name? He's pretty, I think he's pretty close to a household
name. I'd say he's a household
Moneyball,
name.
Moneyball, Don't Look Up. I mean, he's been in a bunch of the...
I'll text my mom and say, hey, mom, do you know who Jonah Hill is?
Mama Bach.
Yeah, hold on.
Debbie Bry, if you're listening right now, do you know who Jonah Hill is?
Hi, Debbie Bry.
It's a good litmus test. All right, so Jonah Hill's an actor, been around for a long time. Comedian, he's been nominated for Oscar. I mean, I think he was nominated for an Oscar for Moneyball and for Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah.
Successful actor. And over the weekend, his ex, who he was like 15 years older than, so there was already like a pretty big age gap. But she's a professional surfer and model. Her name's Sarah Brady. And she posted a series of text exchanges between her and her now ex for over a year. They've been broken up for a while, Jonah Hill. And in the slew of texts, they basically show that Hill is demanding of her to remove Instagram photos of herself in swimsuits, turn down modeling jobs, avoid casual and professional contact with male surfers, and forego friendships with women he deems unstable. And basically invoking their couple's therapist to convey the weight of his demands. So this was one of the quotes. Quote, if you need surfing with men, boundaryless, inappropriate friendships with men to model, to post photos of yourself in a bathing suit, to post sexual pictures, friendships with women who are in unstable places, and from your wild recent past beyond getting a lunch or coffee or something respectful, I'm not the right partner for you, reads one of the texts. These are my boundaries for a romantic relationship or romantic partnership. And there's a lot more than where that comes from. And so you can debate whether or not she should have posted these. And in her defense, I guess I've seen since she now, because he's obviously the more famous of the two in her life since them breaking up, like he constantly is brought up to her.
Yeah.
Like people are constantly talking about him and bringing him up because they've dated and it was public. And she kind of got to the point where like she couldn't be okay without having the truth out there, because ultimately he was always going to be part of her past and she was going to be attached to him indefinitely. And she's also young. She's still only like in her early 20s. But so the conversation around this has been like, using language like boundaries and this is my standards and you can take it or leave it. And like using like therapy speak to then be still controlling in a relationship and trying to control your partner's behavior. And, you know, and then there's some people like, I think this is totally, there's like, everyone has an opinion about basically sex, like either saying that he's totally fine, and you know, if this is what the standards are, if you can't be on the same page, then you shouldn't be together at all, which is true. But also, like, I think the thing that resonates for me is he knew she was a surfer when they started dating.
Yeah,
he knew she was a model when they started dating, and I think it comes to sometimes, and I don't necessarily want to make this about a men versus women thing and men do this to women, because I think that there's plenty of women who start dating men thinking that they'll change. And obviously that doesn't even broach the topic of same-sex relationships and how that works. But I think there is sometimes the things that attract us most to a person then becomes the things that we want to diminish and control once we are actually in a relationship with that person. Because we know what we were attracted to is what other people are attracted to. And our insecurity pops up to make that less.
Oh, yeah.
So that we can protect it and keep it as ours. And I have certainly been on the receiving end of that, of being a charismatic, loud, opinionated, you know, this thing that I think has been like men have been attracted to and then gotten into relationships with and then tried to like snuff out. And it's like, this is what you signed up for.
Yeah.
And I think that is the thing that stuck out to me as far as this situation specifically of this thing of wanting to date someone. And once you are dating them, the reason you wanted to date them, make sure no one else can have it.
Well, he uses the term, these are my boundaries. That's not what those are.
That's
those
not
are
what a boundary
conditions.
Is.
Those are rules. Those are, that is horrible behavior. And I don't care that she posted them, because we wouldn't care if this woman was posting her text messages about the guy that no one knew. This kind of behavior needs to be known, and people need to be shown that this is who this person is. And if you are a person in this situation, how to relate, how to see the signs. And I mean, that's, I have no problem with people knowing it's him, because he's acting like a total jackwad.
Well, I mean, I don't know. Like, the whole celebrity side of it, because if it was just someone who was, if it was a nobody and they were just posting it, and I don't know, in the world of TikTok, I've certainly have seen people who are not celebrities have their relationship woes blow up, and everyone, you know, you invite. I mean, that's the whole point of like the segment from Reddit that we do every once in a while on Fridays, which is Am I the Sphincter, of people airing their dirty their dirty laundry. Granted, it's usually anonymously, to have people weigh in on. And so you do, you know, the topic of doing it as a, but it gets elevated obviously once you're a celebrity. But I, you know, I would, if you have a thoughts on this, like I said, I debated whether or not to talk about this, because I know online this is a very, very dominant conversation this
it's
week.
It's hot on the
it's
on the,
hot on
the
social
medias.
And lots of people have an opinion, but I wanted to weigh in just because, like I said, it's something that struck me reading it, regardless of the celebrity nature of it, of in relationships, when this weird thing happens of the thing that you were attracted to becomes a thing that you don't want to shine anymore. And I think it's for fear of it being taken away from you.
Or outshining you.
Or outshining you. And I don't know, because it's interesting, because she clearly was doing all of the stuff that he said, these are my boundaries, before they started dating. She's an influencer, she's a model, she's a surfer. Like, her job is basically to be in a bathing suit.
Yeah. Like,
and from the last time I checked, not that I know a ton about surfing, pretty sure it's still a male-dominated sport. And so if you're going to be a professional or even a, you know, semi-pro surfer, you're going to be around a lot of men.
I want you to surf in a parka.
And I guess that's the thing. If he's like, these are my boundaries, it's like, all right, well, I guess we aren't going to be together. But then it layers in a whole bunch of dynamics about age and power, because he was definitely more famous and a lot older than her. But I don't know. If you have immediate thoughts on this, we'll keep it going through the next segment, but we got to take a break. 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. We'll be right back.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth
by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
What is the grand prize? Is it a fabulous cash prize?
You definitely get to take home the cheese. I know that.
I hope so. Humans aren't necessarily logical creatures. Maybe it is.
Thrill seeking.
It's the thrill of the cheese and the bragging rights.
The first person across the line wins and gets to keep the cheese.
And that's it.
And I think that's it.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Thick clouds for the overnight, light southeast winds, and 59 degrees as you get up at around Thursday morning. We'll see a slight chance of showers and storms Thursday afternoon. Late in the day, mostly cloudy skies early will give way to sunshine and 83 degrees. It's 57 at our studios.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. He is Greg Bach, and I'm guessing we didn't get any. No one cares about the Joan Hill conversation.
I guess not. But I will give an update on Mama Bach.
Okay.
I texted her and I said, without Googling, do you know who Jonah Hill is? And she said, the name sounds familiar, but no. Can I Google him now? I said, yes. And she Googled him, and she said, no. Explain. We're using you as a social experiment, Jackie Bach.
It's so funny, the expansive divide of pop culture now, of, you know, in trying to pick topics for this show, it certainly is, you know, gauging what people care about, what people want to hear about, why they come to this show, why they come to Civic Media. And this is what, you know, media companies, content creators in general are constantly trying to figure out. But it's like, because to try to find a relevant topic, because it is so, for me, this specific story of Jonah Hill and his ex-girlfriend and the text messages and stuff, like, I can't escape it.
Yeah.
When I'm on TikTok and Twitter and it's coming up.
Threads.
Threads now. And it's coming up again and again and again and again. And then the amount of people who are like, who's Jonah Hill? Who is this person that has been, nominated for Oscars in multiple, like some of the biggest movies of the last 5 years. And that's fine. I mean, that's just kind of like how our culture is now. And I think how the decentralization of celebrity and how someone can have millions of followers. And some people can be like, who? Who is that? Like, that's how I feel about Bad Bunny, who, again, is probably a name that multiple people listening right now is like, who is this person? And I kind of am like, who is this person? But he is a Puerto Rican musician who is wildly popular. And I don't think I could name a single one of his songs. And I'll come across people on social media every once in a while who it's like, they have millions of followers, and I'm like, who is this person? But we're going to go to the phones quickly. Mark from the SAC, what say you?
Well, I think, you know, he's trying to control her life, and sometimes this is what happened. This kind of brought to mind something happened to me. This is over 40 years ago now, coming back from a bus from, I was coming back from Superior, and she was coming back from a trip to the cities from Janesville. Back in the day, we were both roughly the same age, but we struck up a conversation on the bus. The bus picked her, we kind of met at Eau Claire, and kind of took a long time for the bus from Eau Claire to Madison back then, because you're going through all the little burgs and all that. But her boyfriend was pretty upset about it at the time, and because we had corresponded for a while. Then she had to stop doing it because he was so upset that she was exchanging letters with me. That, Dan, I respected her boundaries and stop sending letters to her. But I mean, that it's you have to have control of yourself and control of your, and you know, be confident in yourself, and then it shouldn't be a problem. But I'll kind of leave it at that because it was just even in just a few hours' time, we kind of struck up a real friendship, and then her partner at the time decided he didn't like that at all. So and they're planning on getting married, and she wanted to respect that. But I mean, it just is that.
But you weren't romantically interested. You just wanted a friend.
Well, I didn't know how it could go there at the time. I mean, that it could have gone another way, you know. But you never know. But he was pretty, you know, that I was willing to just respect that as friendship. But he was, you know, he must have been picking something up from her that because she wanted to correspond with me.
Or maybe he was just too insecure to, quote unquote, allow her to have a friendship with someone he didn't know who was a man. Either way.
Yeah. Which that brings up a whole... Ooh. Thanks so much for the call, Mark.
You're welcome.
The overlapping but separate conversation, like, can men and women be friends?
Yes.
And I've always maintained, absolutely, because I have always had male friends. I've always had male friends who are straight. And granted, some of them, I think, probably did want to date me, and it never happened. I'm guessing you've never wanted to date me, Greg.
No, but I've been really trying to get a Mike's game. This whole thing was a ruse for a while. Like, Samson, that tall drink of water, he's get to hugging.
But, and I absolutely think that you can be friends with the opposite sex and have it be platonic, and that it's very, there's lots of value to that. But there's a lot of people out there who absolutely think no.
Well, I think also you can also have a friend of, whatever your orientation is, you can have a friend that you can be attracted to, like in a way that's like, it's like, I'm not going to try to ruin a relationship. Be like, this is my friend. They're cute. I date them, but I'm not going to because I don't want to. You know what I mean? Like it's all these things that go into it. It's like, you know, I personally think I think that men and women can be friends. I don't think that's a problem, but I think the people who don't just have to deal with their own problems. That's very deep, I must say. Sometimes I get very deep on the show. Sorry, my mother was texting me again. So,
any updates? Does she have thoughts on the Jonah Hill situation?
No, she has none.
Does none.
She has none.
Googled him. Probably all of the news hits of the last 24 hours are about this situation, and she's just like, no thoughts.
No, thank you. I'm going to go back to my war documentaries.
All right, when we come back, Connor Kaloya is going to be here. He is the chief operating officer of Milwaukee Pro Soccer. If you have questions about the team, 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
Because you're mine, I walk the line. I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. Keep a close.
Civic Media radio stations providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
CBS News Brief. Twisters tore through the Chicago area last night. WBBM-TV's Charlie DeMar in Elgin, Illinois.
We also have seen a number of first responders out here checking for power lines, checking in on people. So far, no word on any injuries.
The sweltering temps continue to blanket the Southwest. National Weather Service meteorologist Tom Frieder says it's not cooling off anytime soon.
Looks like the peak of the heat looks to be coming in Friday through next Monday, and that's when a lot of records will be in jeopardy.
The time's run out for Hollywood actors to either get a new contract deal or hit the picket line. Still no word yet which it would be. Barbie director Greta Gerwig.
I'm a member of the DGA, the WGA, and SAG. So I'm all in on everything. I love the unions. They've always protected all of the artists I know, and I really want them to stand strong and win their fight.
CBS News Brief. I'm Stacey Lynn.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
Tired of hearing only one side of the story? Do you want news and information from people who, like you, know what it's like to work hard every day and still struggle to make ends meet? Then tune in to The Rick Smith Show every weeknight from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Be part of the conversation. Tune in, turn on, and take back the American dream. The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
The Todd Almost Show.
That's been pretty rough on the Joint Finance Committee. I know you're going to give bipartisan praise that you're going to raise the pay for district attorneys and public defenders. You don't get an attaboy for finally saying, we finally heard people cry uncle enough times. You either govern all the time or not once a decade when it's suddenly convenient. So,
but I think we have to at least give people hope once in a while that there is something happening in Madison that is a little bit on the good side.
The Todd Almost Show, weekday afternoons 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Tom from Madtown. Welcome, Tom.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, guys. Heard you talking about Robin Voss, so I called Robin Voss's office and said, yeah, why is DEI so dangerous? And nothing. The guy just stopped talking. I said, hello, are you there? I called him back, and the phone got picked up, and then they didn't say anything. You know, maybe you'll learn something if you listen to The Devil's Advocates.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
The Joint Finance Committee, again in the middle of the night, took that out and said, well, hey, you have all this money coming from the federal government. Why don't you use that to create this program? Well, guess what? We proved it worked. Wages went up $2 an hour. There actually are a couple extra childcare businesses open now than there were about a year ago, and that's going to stop. Just Monday, we lost two.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Almost Show.
The most elitist scorn towards average people exists within sort of that conservative far-right ecosystem.
We're a couple of dudes who used to be Republicans. We were Dwight Eisenhower, Ronald Reagan, Tommy Thompson, Scott Klug Republicans. This Republican Party you got now with Robin Voss and Devin Lemieux, the Republican Party at the top, want to start banning books, for God's sake.
Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. We got Greg Bach on the board today, and I know you are especially excited about the next.
So excited!
Because you are a big football fan.
I love the football. Football is life.
And we were very excited that a professional soccer team is coming to Milwaukee in 2025. So far, aptly named Milwaukee Pro Soccer, but that is going to change. And so we are so excited to have Connor Kaloya, who is the chief operating officer for Milwaukee Pro Soccer, here with us today. How you doing, Connor?
I'm great. It's great to be here.
So, Milwaukee Pro Soccer, how's it going?
Yeah. It's good. Everything's great. I think you were correct that Milwaukee Pro Soccer, we may need a more creative name than that. And so we're in that public process right now. And, you know, we're excited to bring professional soccer back to Milwaukee. We're excited to bring USL Championship. It'll be the highest level of pro soccer in the state. And we're working to do that in the spring of 2025.
And so I know Greg knows more about this, but as far as the higher, for lack of a better word, hierarchy of American soccer and the different leagues, because we there, I know there's Forward in Madison with the Flamingos. Obviously, the Wave is an indoor soccer team. I've seen them. And so what is kind of the landscape of professional soccer and what's available for people to watch, men and women's, in the U.S. right now?
Yeah, great question. So everything in soccer is through the U.S. Soccer Federation. So everything is sanctioned through the U.S. Soccer Federation. They actually have different tiers. Major League Soccer is the top tier. There's 28 on its way to, I think, 30 teams in Major League Soccer. USL Championship is in the second tier. That's where Milwaukee would fit. 24 teams in the league across the country, markets of a million plus. And then Forward Madison, they're in the third tier. 12 markets in that league across the country. That's markets of maybe 500,000 to a million people. So Milwaukee will be the highest level in the state. Markets of a million plus, playing against teams like Sacramento, Louisville, Indianapolis, Detroit, some good regional rivals. And truly a national league. And it's different than baseball. It's not, you know, minor league. In baseball, you go from A ball to double A to triple A on your way up. It's a little different in soccer. These are true professionals. This is what these guys do for a living. There's some players that might be 16, 17 years old on their way up. There's others that'll be 32, 33, and this is their career and what they've done for a long time, whether it be overseas or in Major League Soccer.
And so is that the same for the U.S. Soccer Federation that mirrors for women as well as far as the tier, the different leagues?
Yeah, that's a great question and something that we're engaged in as well. On the women's side, there's only one professional league in the U.S. currently. That's the NWSL. But the USL has announced the USL Super League, which will also be a first division women's league. That plans to start in the fall of 24. With eight teams and Madison has announced to be kind of in the second wave of that. Madison Women's Pro Soccer, we would be joining that. We're working on some stadium renovations to allow that to happen, but Madison would be in the second wave of that. So it's a little different on the women's side than the men's side right now, but I would expect over the next 10 to 15 years you will see that women's tier populate, that you'll have more than just a first tier for sure.
Absolutely. Our guest is Connor Kaloya, who is the Chief Operating Officer of Milwaukee Pro Soccer. Greg, do you have a question?
Absolutely. Connor, what is the process of just, like, you look at Milwaukee and you say, yes, let's do it? Because I remember you making the announcement. You made the announcement last year, wasn't it? Like, late last year, or was it early this year?
Yeah, it was October 20th of last year. But Greg, I know that seems like a long time ago, but we've been on this for like over 5 years. Maybe 6 years. I don't even remember at this time, but we were working on Milwaukee actually before Forward Madison even played a game here in Madison.
Wow.
So Forward Madison started playing in April of 2019. So, it's been a long process and it's not as simple as just being like, hey, Milwaukee's cool. Let's bring a soccer team there.
There's been a lot.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I wish it was. For better or for worse, we looked at about 40 different sites across the city and in the suburbs. To have a pro soccer team, you really just need three things. You need a franchise, you need a stadium, and you need people that'll come watch the game. We think Milwaukee's a great market for it, so we think we have the people. We've secured a franchise from the USL, and now we just have to get that stadium built in the Iron District. And so it took us a while to locate a site. We did locate that site and acquire the site. So we own that site, and development has started on the housing on that site. And eventually it'll be an 8,000-seat stadium, a 200-key hotel room, about 170 affordable or workforce housing units, and some retail, restaurant, and entertainment, all as part of a larger development in the Iron District.
Which is so exciting.
It's so exciting.
So one of the things you just said, Connor, that stuck out to me is the one of the three things that you need is the people. And so what does the market research look like to prove, to justify and prove that there is a desire for this? There's a calling for it.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And I mean, we've done real research, but there's a lot of tangential pieces that just kind of speak to you as well. If you look across the U.S.,
you
looked at Twitter. We looked at the nearly 200,000 people that have voted on the name of the team, and we're like, hey, I think this will work. But no, there's a lot of, I mean, Milwaukee has such a rich soccer history. In the 1950s and 60s, it was one of the best soccer markets in the U.S., and it's kind of fallen off a little bit for it did over the years, but it's still a great soccer market. The Barons were a supporters group that was formed in 2014 with the sole purpose of bringing pro soccer to Milwaukee. They had over 5,000 members, and there wasn't even a team. And they had 5,000 members that were part of this group to bring pro soccer. So hopefully, you know, it will be about 11 years since they started that they'll accomplish that goal of bringing pro soccer to Milwaukee. But beyond that, if you look across the U.S., you look at major markets, Milwaukee's one of the largest markets without outdoor spectator professional mm-hmm. soccer. And there's not only is it a large market, but there is a really strong playing soccer population, but there's a really strong fan interest. I mean, you just look at the World Cup and the watch parties across the city. And, you know, on some days there was more than 50,000 people out watching the U.S. men's team out in public. So it just, this is a, you know, we're totally convinced, and we've seen it since we've launched in October, the energy and excitement around it, that it'll be a great pro soccer market.
Absolutely.
So now that we're in 2023, we got a couple of years still, you know, and you have the site, you've acquired it. What are the next steps? I know you, I've been very much part of the naming campaign.
He's voting a lot.
I vote. It's important to get out and vote. But
you know, vote early, vote often. Exactly. Like Chicago.
At least in this one, we can do that. We can talk about, we can brag about that. But you know, how, like, you're spacing it over the next 2 years or less than 2 years now, I guess, because you're going to be spring. Like, what are those steps? What are the things? Okay, you got the site, and then breaking ground, then naming, then kit design, and all those things. Like, how do you space that out over the next couple of years?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I mean, the next kind of wave of developments will be groundbreaking, and right around that time, you'll see an actual. The plan would be around that time to be rolling out an actual crest and logo and identity for the team. Mm-hmm. From there, we start building a full-time staff to have, you know, staff on the ground and building, kind of continuing to build the community excitement. In about 12 to 18 months out, we'll build a technical staff. So the soccer side of the staff, we'll start building out who's going to oversee and run that part of the team and start recruiting talent and building a fan base, building a team, and being ready to open hopefully in the spring of 25. So, you know, we've got a roadmap of what we need to do between now and in April of 25. And, you know, but the next big pieces later this year would be getting a shovel in the ground and rolling out the name of the team and then starting to build out the staff.
So speaking of the name of the team, we're down to the top 20. I'm trying to count quickly because I have them all in front of me right now.
I think there's 16 in front of you, and we're trying to whittle that down to 10. So we changed it up the last round. Rather than doing the bracket style, you could just tell us your top five. And then we're going to, you know, we've got that top five. Well, we've taken the 16 and we've kind of got it down. We're looking at those top 10 names right now.
Trust me, Connor, I've told you my top five many times.
Thank you.
Do you have to do it? Can you do it daily, or how often can you vote, Greg?
You can vote as much as you want.
Can you? Is that true, Connor?
Yeah, I think as I thought it might, we might have had it on daily, but
I don't vote five times a day.
You can vote frequently. I think it was daily that you had to do it. And there are some things you need to submit, so it's not like, you know, robo voting.
Yeah.
And so is there any like super delegates when it comes to voting for this team? Like, are there people who work?
We had to get political with this, didn't we? We try not to be political at soccer.
But you know what I mean? Like, is there anyone on the marketing team that like their vote like weighs like a little bit more?
Well, I think so. As a member of the ownership group, ultimately ownership will decide.
Yes.
But I do think one of the worst things that could happen in pro soccer is the owner can pick the team name, pick the colors, and pick the logo. Like that. This is truly the fans. Fans are guiding us. The fans are telling us what to do, and we got to listen to the fans. And we won't have any success as we launch this team if we don't listen to the fans. So the process has been amazingly enlightening. I think some of the names we thought we're going to be good. The people are telling us they're not so good. and I think some of the names that we didn't think were going to be good, the people are saying, hey, you should take another look at this. So there is not a superdelegate. There's not a veto power. To be clear, this is an advisory poll. It's not a, you know, whatever you pick, we're going with.
What?
But we didn't want to be like Bodie McBoatface or some of those those names that were out there earlier that people, that's why it's advisory. We have to, you know, put some guardrails on this thing.
Yeah.
But it is, I mean, we are seriously heavily leaning in to what the fan input is. And what we're going to do is we're going to take some of these names and actually start building out some identities.
Can you tell us any of the names that didn't make that got submitted that didn't make it to the top 64? So we have.
Yeah, I mean, maybe if you have like an after hours show, we can put some of those out there. I don't know that in the middle of the day it's the right time to be sharing some of those. But yeah, there were some that's like, hey, that's creative. Thanks. Thanks for playing. But we want kids to come to our games too, and we can't use that name.
Milwaukee Pro Soccer's woke, apparently. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, we are family friendly.
Family friendly. Well, I'm excited to see because then obviously from the name will come like the mascot. Because my favorite, I think this is one of your favorites too so far. It was your favorite Goodland United.
Correct. That's my running.
Which
one.
Is great.
I love that one.
But I also feel like that doesn't necessarily like makes it very open ended for a mascot. Like, what would a mascot for Goodland United be? Or Cream City, or a lot of these like don't necessarily. I think Milwaukee Barons is maybe one.
Yeah,
Milwaukee Tall Boys is pretty obvious of what the mascot could be. But is there like, is that the next level of the marketing? Like, once there's the name, is there going to be another round of voting for like, what is the mascot? Who is the mascot? What's his personality? Are we going to get it gritty?
Oh, we love votes. So yeah, we're going to keep voting on everything. No, but. Likely there could be a name, the mascot, something like that. I think the next step is to figure out 3 to 4, maybe 5 good buckets, start building out kind of what an identity would look like in soccer, your crest, which is on the chest of your jersey. That's where it all starts. And so the focus will, in short order here, will be on the crest. But yeah, I'm sure we'll have a mascot, in Madison with our team, in Madison Forward Madison, we are the team's named Forward Madison, but our icon is the flamingos. It's really challenging to own a live flamingo unless you're a zoo. So we couldn't own a live flamingo. So instead we have a couple dairy cows. So we have Leonella Bessie and Rose Cowbell, which were both named via fan votes.
Oh, that's fun.
Soccer appropriate cow names. And I think there's probably more voting down the line once we figure out an identity.
Well, we love it. I'm so excited. I'm kind of a soccer noob, but every 4 years.
Oh, we're going.
I know. We're going. Greg's excited.
Great.
So check out MilwaukeeProSoccer.com for all the information on where to find them on social media. Get your vote in for naming the club. Follow along as everything progresses. And Connor, we'll have to have you back as the mascot comes out, as recruiting the rest of the team comes out, because we are very excited.
We appreciate you having me on, and I look forward to talking more as the process rolls out.
Absolutely.
Thanks a lot,
all right. Have a great day, Connor.
Bye. Thanks,
all right,
guys.
We're going to take one more break and come back and talk about the Laughing Tap is back from a break, right?
Heck yeah.
All right. We're going to talk about it when we come back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
When you take the iconic Wienermobile and you call it the Frankmobile, come on, that is terrible.
The Kraft Heinz Company announced the name change to celebrate the brand's 100% beef franks as the company debuts a new recipe. Well, no more lips and other things, I guess.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Devil's Advocates Radio.
The entire light beer industry is under attack from the right at this time. Apparently, that they no longer have women in bikinis selling the beer.
I would suggest, and this is on the Fox Entertainment Network.
I believe it's the Fox News. Well,
Well, I just hope I don't get to the Captain Morgan and Diet Cokes, man. That'd be a sad day.
The Devil's Advocates Radio with Dom and Crute. Weekdays 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
A guy named Bill out in Econowalk. Bill's got some thoughts on that.
Yeah, thanks for talking about what you're talking about right now. Your station, you raised the bar high for integrity. You are a community radio station, which means you look out for all the citizens in the state of Wisconsin.
Daily conversations about Wisconsin's latest headlines and stories. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Thick clouds for the overnight, light southeast winds, and 59 degrees as you get up at around Thursday morning. We'll see a slight chance of showers and storms Thursday afternoon. Late in the day, mostly cloudy skies early will give way to sunshine and 83 degrees. It's 57 at our studios.
Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
Come laugh, don't you know everyone wants to laugh? My dad said be an actor, my son, but be a comical one. They'll be standing in lines for those old honky-tonk monkey shines. Or you could study Shakespeare and be quite elite, and you could charm the critics and have nothing to eat. Just slip on a banana peel, the world's at your feet. Make them laugh, make them laugh, make them laugh.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. He is Greg Bach. That was really fun.
It was a lot of fun. Connor was great.
Connor was great.
Let's keep having him on like every 2 weeks until at least we're like, you know what? Thanks for helping. Here's some tickets. I don't know.
I'm sure he doesn't have other things to do managing multiple.
They don't even have a name yet. What are they doing?
Yeah, I know. But yes, I agree with you that Goodland United is.
It just sounds great.
It also, yeah.
But here's the funny thing, though. United, I looked this up. United tends to apply to a group that two clubs join. But that's fine.
That's fine.
But we're united in the good land.
So this is what, I didn't want to read it off with our limited time with him, but this is what's left for anyone who wants to go vote. And you can go still vote at MilwaukeeProSoccer.com/name the club. So it's Milwaukee Hogs, Milwaukee Tall Boys, Milwaukee Barons, 1846 Milwaukee, Fresh Coast. I don't really like that one. Old Milwaukee, Lake Effect, Cream City, Milwaukee Industrial, 414, just Milwaukee. Milwaukee Iron, Goodland United, Milwaukee Foundry, yeah. Brew City, Milwaukee Brigade. What are your other ones that you like?
I liked, I didn't mind Foundry. I liked MKE. Was it?
I don't think that's left.
Goodland United, the only one I care about. Like, I vote, and then the ones that are just. I think I voted for Tall Boys once, but I don't like the beer reference personally.
Mm.
It's just for me. I like the Goodland United. It sounds cool. I can already think.
Sounds
of
like a soccer team.
Yes, I can think of a kit. I can think of songs, chants, the whole thing. It's inspiring, Kristen Bry.
All right. Well, not that you're refreshed because you have like three jobs, but Laughing Tap has been on a break, and this weekend you guys are back.
We're back, baby.
Does that mean you also have an open mic tonight?
Correct. We have an open mic this evening, and we're supposed to be having a show at Central, but if it's rain, it might get rained out. So we'll just say this right now. The open mic is happening tonight. That starts at 7:30. If you want to perform, come sign up at 7 o'clock. But we have a show this weekend, two shows. Chris Higgins headlining Friday and Saturday at the Laughing Tap. Very, very funny man. He's been featured on Vice, been featured, I believe, on Comedy Central. Very funny, very nice guy. He says it in his comedy. He's like, he looks like a golden retriever that became a real boy. He's just a big, big huggable dude. And I got a clip here for y'all to listen to. Take a listen. I think you'll enjoy him, and he'll make a lot of sense after this.
I did dabs today. This is hard for me right now. Right? You guys ever done a dab before? Not like the dance, like hash. Yeah, have you guys done that? No?
All right, the people who said yeah have weed on them. Those are just the rules. I don't make them up. You gotta be enthusiastic about weed if you're doing a dab. Like, it's the scariest way to get high. Like, for those of you who don't know what a dab is, it's like a hash, it's a concentrated form of marijuana. And what you do is you take out a blowtorch and you weld it directly to your brain. Like, it is terrifying. I was like, I got a show later, I want to get high. My friend was like, do you want to get industrially high? Like, afterwards, we'll make some swords. We have everything here. I didn't think weed was a gateway drug, and then I did a dab, and I was like, no, yeah, we're f***ing going somewhere here. I'm about to become a blanket. Like, this is, you've melted me. I'm boneless. This is heroin. Like, we turned weed, and maybe don't legalize it. We've gone too far.
So that's just an idea of Chris right there. He's just such a nice guy, so funny, and just very cool.
Do you ever book people who are not nice people?
Oh, all the time.
Oh really?
No. Honestly, we talk about that a lot at the club, and we talk about that with headliners. We're going on 4 years old towards the end of the year.
Wow.
We have never had anyone who's just like kind of like busted through the door like, this is me, and get me my stuff, and
give
I don't
my
care.
Green M&Ms.
Yeah,
out all of them from the rest of the bag.
We have people with varying personality types. Some people are really outgoing and want to have fun with you. Some people are like, hey, they show up, they do their gig, and then they go back to the hotel, which is totally fine. I have no problem with that. But everyone who walks through the door is always professional. They're fun. They're kind. And it's never a problem. And we're very lucky to have that come through the door every time. So if you want to get tickets to see Chris, laughingtap.com for all your ticket needs. The tickets are available. Like I said, one show Friday, one show Saturday. And the tickets this month are for all shows are $15 at the Laughing Tap.
Oh,
yeah.
Why the discount?
Some are special, you know.
All right.
That also includes the Barons Brothers shows if those tickets were available.
Has the next one gone on sale yet?
No, it won't go on sale until this one has happened, which is end of this month.
So end of this month. So the last Thursday, is it the third or fourth Thursday of the month?
This month is going to be the fourth Thursday of the month.
So fourth Thursday of the month. So basically check in early August.
Correct.
For the August show.
Correct.
If you want to see the Barons Brothers
comedy
show.
Yep.
Comedy show.
Yep.
Comedy special.
It's called the Barons Brothers Comedy Hour.
Comedy Hour. Yeah. Thank you.
And so, yeah. But yeah, Chris is this weekend. And then next week, folks, guess what? Chastity Washington is headlining. I'll talk more about her next week. But I will be featuring.
Ooh.
I'll be performing, and it'll be fun, and we're going to have a good time. Chastity is one of the funniest people on earth, kindest people on earth. Just released a comedy special on Prime Video. So, oh, by the way, happy Prime Day.
You bought anything?
No. I looked at electronic drum sets, but nothing serious.
In the 2 minutes that we have left, I almost started the show like this, but then it felt like it was not that important. But who steals a plant?
Oh, yeah.
My mom planted, this is how I'm going to end the show. My mom, who's adorable, gave us this plant that had there was a flower in it. But she also put this little cute sign in it that said baby in bloom. And it sat on our porch, literally right outside our front door. And I was doing such a good job watering it every day. And I came outside this morning and Mike was watering. And he goes, did you move that plant? And I go, no. And so someone just took it. Who steals a plant? Who steals a heavy potted plant in the middle of the night? And he was like, it was probably just dumb kids, which made my mom feel even worse. She's like, I'd like to think that someone who was looking for a gift for their mom is the one who stole
Debbie
it.
Bry.
And they couldn't afford something else. But now that is what we will have to buy on Prime Day is like a Ring camera. In case maybe we just won't replace.
I thought you were going to say another plant. You're like, no, there will be surveillance in the Bry household.
It's just like, who steals a plant? It was so upsetting. I was already irritable this morning, and that just really put me in a bad mood. So I hope it's not smashed somewhere in the middle of our neighborhood. But so yes, that's what we will be spending our money on for Prime Day is a ring camera. All right. Well, not to end it on downer, but don't steal plants. All right.
And come to the Laughing Tap.
And come to the Laughing Tap. And come back tomorrow at 10 a.m. when we're going to do the show all over again. Thank you for texting. Thank you for calling. Thank you for being part of the show and listening. And this has been As goes Wisconsin.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.